You're listening to Irish Sports Talk.
Hello, Notre Dame fans, and welcome to Irish Sports Talk. This is episode 379, and spring practice has happened. There's been a couple of them, and it feels like it's been weeks ago, but it's been less than a week since spring practice started. And of course, right now, the football players, they're on spring break, so no action this week. But there were a few practices last week, and the media was able to sit in for some time on the first one. So we've got one press conference, and then also Brian Kelly met with the media after, was it after the first day or after the second day of practice?
He had met with them before, the day before practice started, then he met with them again after practice.
After the first one.
Yeah.
I think so. So we've got a couple things to talk about as far as that goes. Of course, Randall's here as well. And
I will say, one thing I learned that I need to have more grit. That's one of Brian Kelly's favorite phrases after listening to the podcast. He keeps talking about having grit. So maybe we need to add some grit to the podcast, Ruben.
How would we go about doing that?
I'm not sure. I just had to throw that in there because I think there's actually a count. Somebody had counted how many times he used it in his press conference. anyways.
I've got a few topics that I wanted to discuss, and definitely the one ties right into there. So the one is spring practice is about the process. And then we've got some changes that BK has made, and some of this stretches back a while ago and includes some stuff from Sports Illustrated, had an article including some of this as well. Update on the injuries, mostly good news there. And then we'll go through the different position groups and maybe just mention, even though it's not extremely relevant or even it doesn't really give you that much of an insight, we'll maybe go through who the first team was at the different positions. So starting off with, spring practice is about the process. And this is where he said that it's less about running routes and technique or finding a pecking order at a different position. It's more about finding players that have focus, that have grit, and can pay attention to detail. And I don't completely buy into this. Of course, I think what he was trying to do is give everyone an equal opportunity, you know, one through three at different position groups, give them an equal opportunity to show them, hey, that this is a football player that can contribute. But I don't think that I think it does matter how well they're running. Guys are running routes and how well they're using their hands and the different defensive lineman drills, et cetera.
Yeah, I mean, the two things, attention to detail and laser focus. I mean, those are the two things you mentioned. And doing that, that does mean running precise routes. That basically includes all that stuff, in my opinion.
And I guess I don't care as much who is the first string rover or who is the number one strong safety.
I think that's
what
he was getting at.
More what I'm interested in is who's getting better. And who is maybe stepping up that is took a bigger step forward than expected? That's what interests me. And often it relates to what the pecking order is because that's a measuring stick pretty much.
Yeah. Well, it does seem like everybody is getting better and stronger. Even have guys like McGlinchey. I think we had actually talked about it last. But guys like him can do more reps on bench press. He can go along. One of the interviews they did with him after practice was, he said one of the biggest differences with him is he can do all this stuff and he's not huffing and puffing as much. And that was something Brian Kelly wanted to work on right away. They do their workouts in the morning, obviously they at 5:45, and right after their workouts, they do their running. A lot of schools had that at different times, but they're doing it at the same time because, or one after the other, to get these guys tired and to see how they respond.
To toughen them up mentally and instill some of that grit. But I also think part of it is probably due to scheduling, and it's probably easier to do all at once. But I think there's an advantage to it.
I think there is, you're probably right as far as the scheduling too, but there is something in doing all the, because Brian Kelly said he wants to see how they respond when they are fatigued. And that way, you know, when they're in that moment, they can say, hey, how'd you overcome that, you know, when you were in practice or did this or that. It's basically like boot camp. I haven't actually gone through boot camp, but they break you down so that it's literally to see what you do. You're mentally broken and to see how you respond. I don't think they're going quite this far in practice, but I think it's great. I love to hear that. And the guys are obviously looking better. They're more fit. McClinchy's one guy. Another guy is Andrew Trombetti. He's always had issues, you know, with his weight. You know, he wasn't really a strong side defensive end. You know, he seemed small, couldn't keep the weight on, but he's up to 255.
He seemed weak at the weak side defensive end position.
But with the stuff that they're doing, I mean, he's up to 255, and it's like it's a good weight for him. It's not like he's overweight or anything like that. Like, it's bad weight. So things are definitely happening. You do see different guys, like Niles Morgan, they say actually looks slimmed down. There's a couple guys that went the opposite direction. They aren't looking for those, you know, big, heavy linebackers necessarily like they had before. They want the athletic guy. They want to get the athleticism. Can't even say it. Anyways, they want them to be more athletic and be able to get to the ball, and definitely things are happening.
All right, let's talk about injuries, get that out of the way. Good news, Sean Crawford is going to be extremely active. He's doing better than expected. He's probably going to be no contact throughout all of spring, but still doing better than what was expected. Daniel Cage is full go. Now, he didn't participate, at least not heavily, in the weight training that the other defensive linemen did, so he definitely is behind where they're at, but he is full go. And then Nick Watkins, fully healed. In fact, he was with the first team at cornerback, and from all reports that I saw, looked great. All the cornerbacks looked great. And then Javon McKinley, wide receiver, who had... Was there a broken leg?
He had a broken leg.
Brian Kelly said he has a slight limp, but also doing better than expected, further along than expected. So I'm still curious how, and I didn't read any reports about Javon McKinley, but if you have a slight limp, how does that affect you when you're trying to run a route?
Obviously he's still healing. He's not going to be at 100%.
But a lot fewer guys that it's better than I expected.
Yeah.
I'm very happy where Notre Dame's at as far as injuries go.
And Daniel, everybody's good to go except McKinley has a slight limp and Crawford is no contact. Other than that, everyone's good to go. And that's good news with Daniel Cage.
And Nick Watkins he's with the first team. He's full. He is definitely on track. Whereas Daniel Cage is behind the other guys. And hopefully he can continue to stay healthy because he'll need to be relied on heavily this fall. All right, and then changes from BK, and this is Sports Illustrated had an article about Brian Kelly, and there were some interesting things that I didn't know. They went in, and definitely I encourage you to go read it because it's a long article, but it was interesting going into a little bit of detail as far as the meeting with Jack Swarbrick and Brian Kelly after the USC game. It was at Jack's home, and it was for 7-plus hours. I forget exactly, but it was a long meeting. And they didn't go into detail as far as what was discussed.
So basically they could have been watching other football games.
But knowing that it was that long of a meeting makes me think they went through a lot of things, I'm pretty sure. And Brian Kelly has started to do yoga. He does it in the morning for 45 minutes or an hour. I forget I'm not sure the exact time. But he's dropped pant size, dropped some weight.
Which he did this when he showed up as well.
He lost some
weight. Not necessarily yoga, but remember how he lost weight? He said the guys are supposed to be doing their workouts and be in shape, so he has to set an example. I don't know what all he did. I think I would try to come up with something else besides yoga, but hey. that's working, go for it.
He does meet with the players, or he's with the players when they're working out in the morning, those 5:45 a.m. workouts, and then he frequently eats breakfast with them too, and has started to develop a deeper relationship with the individuals across the team, whereas previously he'd been much more focused on the offensive players and even more the quarterbacks.
Well, he even mentioned that he was involved with trying to raise money for the stadium upgrades and a lot more of those other things, and he's handed that off to other people, which is good. He should not be worrying about raising the money for the stadium. Obviously, it's Notre Dame. Maybe if he was at Cincinnati where they actually needed the money, he could be doing that, but Notre Dame doesn't need it.
Well, but
the coaches
expected to do a lot of things.
But, I know, but Notre Dame doesn't even start a project until they have all the funds.
Winning is more important. I mean, if you win, things will take care of themselves more than less.
Try to convince some of the Notre Dame, the ones that want him out there raising money. But yeah, he's more involved. He also has meetings with the seniors and the captain, weekly meetings.
And it sounded kind of funny. He said the reason for this is because of the 93 player interviews he did after the 2016 season. And it just sounded funny to hear him say they want him to be around more. They want to have a relationship with him. And it just almost, because he kind of comes across as kind of a hard coach, as far as like he expects a lot of the players, but also of himself and his coaches, but he doesn't seem like the kind of coach that players want to eat breakfast with.
Well, I understand a little bit, just having talked to Brian Kelly. He is like, you know, he doesn't know who I am, but just talking to him, the one time I talked to him, and he's very friendly. I don't know how to describe him, but it seems like he cares, and he probably gets – everybody wants to stop and talk to him, get his autograph, whatever. But he still takes time, and he's somebody you'd want to hang out with. Just talking to him for a couple of minutes, he's somebody you'd want to have a conversation with.
And I think that is true. Just watching him on the sideline on TV, watching a press conference, it doesn't appear that way. But I do think you're right.
And one of the players, I believe it was McGlinchey, had mentioned – at some point that it makes a difference as far as playing for your coach. Like, if you don't have a good relationship or if you don't really know him that good, it's just not the same when you're going out there and trying to win the game for him.
I believe that fully.
Which totally makes sense.
Another one of BK's changes, and this is not new news, but still there's speculation whether it will hold true, is that Brian Kelly is getting out of the way of Chip Long, letting him run the offense. And one indicator that it is true, at least for now, is that in the time that the media was at the opening practice, Brian Kelly was over with the defense that entire time. It wasn't for a full practice, but he definitely wants to be able to spread his time evenly amongst the different sides of the ball and also between the different position groups. And then help out where he's needed, or step in where and when he's needed. So time will tell if that's true. I do think that it probably is true, because he kind of talked about his time at Cincinnati, where he was in charge of the offense, and you can't do everything.
Yeah.
And so if he wants to accommodate the players on defense that want to have his attention more, have more of a relationship with him, he has to give up. And I think it's even though that the offense was very successful in 2015, where it was kind of a three-headed monster between Kelly, Denbrock, and Sanford. I'm not saying that we'll have that kind of success, but I do think that it's going to be all right. We're going to do fine under the guidance of Chip Long.
Yeah, and it's hard for a coach. I mean, I can understand why it's hard for him to give up some of that stuff. If something goes wrong, it's your fault. And I know that's how it is.
But you don't have control over it.
Yeah, I know that's how it is for me building houses. If I tell my guys to do something, sometimes you just want to go do it yourself so that it's done right, because if it's done wrong, I'm the one that hears about it from the homeowner.
Either way, it's still your fault.
It's my fault. And so I can totally see why it's, you know, it makes sense why it's hard for him to let go of some of that stuff. But he's definitely going in the right direction. Things are definitely, it's looking like he's actually doing that.
All right. One other thing that we've heard a lot over from Brian Kelly is this whole thing of tempo. And the only reason that I believe that this would happen.
Talk about this.
I know.
Every...
I know. And I kind of, I believe it every year. The one reason I do believe it this year is because we're getting a new offensive coordinator and Brian Kelly is not going to be involved. So if there ever was a time to believe it, now this is the year to believe it.
It's funny hearing someone say that, but I do agree with you. Like
I believe it every year.
We're
too.
Falling for it again. But yeah, we'll just have to wait and see.
And again, this is stuff that's been said every year too, but cleaning up the verbiage and also cleaning up the checks. So there's fewer checks to go through and to check in and out of, or fewer reads to go through to check into different plays, having less of that. And Brian Kelly did talk about this last year in particular. He said he wished that sometimes the quarterback would just go up and just run the play, have trust in the play calling, just go up and run the play. So again, time will tell. Don't even in spring ball, even if we see some tempo in spring ball, even that's not a guarantee we'll see it in spring. That's not a guarantee we'll see it this fall. However, it's a good sign.
Yeah, I think the biggest indicator is that he has turned over the offense to Chip Long. Before, Brian Kelly has always, he's still been involved with the offense. I think that's why we never saw that huge difference in tempo, just because it was still the same offense. It was still Brian Kelly doing his thing. So here, the reason I have more faith is here, Brian Kelly's not as involved. He's out of it, and it's Chip Long.
All right. Brian Kelly said the quarterback time is going to be split 60-40 between Wimbush and
Ian Book.
Ian Book, yes. Is that enough? What is your thought on that?
I think that's great, because you're still giving plenty of reps to the backup, because if something happens to Wimbush, you got to give that backup quarterback reps. I mean, one of the biggest gripes we had when Kaiser had to take over for Zaire was that they had split up, those reps were split up between
Golson in the spring.
Yeah, between too many different quarterbacks. And so I'm glad to see Book get that many reps. And Brian Kelly said he really likes Ian Book. I thought it was kind of funny how he was asked the question. He was asked about Ian Book, and he's like, "Well, we gave him a full scholarship."
He was asked, why would you give him that much time?
And it just sounded funny. Like,
I agree.
But they recruited him for a reason. They knew what they got. I think people just, I don't know why, they kind of write him off.
And just watching, I mean, he's definitely not.
He's a smart football player.
But he's not to the caliber of where Wimbush is, where they're at both right now.
Oh,
and
no
one would expect that. Wimbush
has been
a junior.
In the program for 3 years. So.
And so,
this is his third
year. I agree. I like this 60-40 split in spring. However, in the fall, if Wimbush is ready to go and if that's enough time for him, fine. But if it's not, I want the number one quarterback to be as good as he can be.
Well, I think we can expect to see Wimbush get more reps this fall because we know he's the number one quarterback. How many of the last years that Brian Kelly has been coached, we've had a quarterback competition, and so it's always getting split up more than it should be.
And also, there hasn't been a season where the backup quarterback hasn't pretty much been forced to play. Even in 2012, you could say that, well, it wasn't because of injury, but it was because of some mistakes by Golson that Reese had to come in.
He came in and won against Purdue that year. There was a couple games that he came in.
There was a few,
yeah. Yeah. But Brian Kelly is known for that. I mean, even at Cincinnati, he hardly ever has one quarterback play the entire year.
Yeah.
I think last year was the closest thing. I think last year would have been the best.
Probably.
You know, we didn't see much of Zaire, but that would have been the closest to having one quarterback for the entire year. And the one positive thing Well, there's a lot of positives about it, but the one thing that I noticed is that last year, it was even in fall camp, we heard about how much the receivers were dropping the ball and just some small things like that, trying to get, you know, the timing right with Kaiser. But that doesn't seem to be an issue now. I mean, there's hardly any drop balls. The timing is incredible with between Wimbush and the receivers. And I think a lot of that is with him being in the program a couple of years and a lot of work that they put in the off season as well. But it, you can already tell they're ahead of where they were last fall.
All right, let's go through the different position groups, and let's start off with the offense. Not a whole lot of surprises, at least not for me. Tommy Kramer did start at was with the first team at right tackle, Alex Barrs at right guard, and then EQ starting.
Quentin Nelson.
Well, yeah. The rest of the offensive line was pretty much what everyone expected, yeah. Mustafa at center, Nelson at guard, left tackle, McGlinchey. And then tight end, I guess, Jerm Smythe was with the first team. And
I think Alize Jones was actually with the third team. Basically, Brian Kelly said don't read into this too much. Stefferson was with the third team as well.
Yeah.
Some people think he might have been trying to tell them that this isn't just because you got playing time before. This doesn't mean it's not a given. But he wants these guys to play different positions. I mean, you saw C.J. Sanders was playing outside. Claypool lined up in the slot. They were just moving around a bunch of the players, and I think this is just because of the new staff, the new offense, and figuring out where these guys are best suited to play. I'll throw this in right with tight ends. Alize Jones, he is good to go as far as his academics. Brian Kelly said they need to keep him focused, and it was mentioned, the social media was mentioned. Brian Kelly just said that can be a distraction, and he said they need to keep him focused. He didn't say that they have to keep him off social media, but we all know Alize Jones is very active on social media. I think the one telling thing about how much he likes it is that a couple months ago, Alize had actually tweeted out, and I think he had something on Instagram as well, that this was his last tweet and last post until like fall.
I remember this
next fall. I think it lasted a couple of weeks or a week maybe. It wasn't long at all. I don't know what happened. And since then, he's been trying to get his branding out there with the TikTok, hashtag yeah. TikTok. And he obviously loves the social media. And I think that's his, he likes being that guy. He likes.
I like it too. I want to be fired up about Notre Dame football, but I don't want it to be a distraction for him or for the team. I want the team to be fired up and focused.
Yeah.
Above everything.
Well, the one thing you know that I noticed at the banquet, seeing him there, he definitely seems a little more. He knows who he is. He's not as easy to talk to. He doesn't have as much time to talk to you. But hey, you gotta with the publicity. You gotta do that. I mean, I don't.
I don't.
It's a rough life.
Care.
It's a rough life.
Hey, so on defense then. Bilal was the first-team rover, and Brian Kelly was asked about this and made it pretty much, he said, this is going to be personnel by matchup. So if they're playing more of a power offense, they'll probably have a bigger guy at the rover, so probably more of Bilal. And then if it is more of a finesse speed team where they use a slot receiver more, would try to match up a slot with the rover, then we'd probably see someone else. Would we see Drew Tranquil? I hope not, because watching the videos in open space, which I know at the rover he might not be in open space, but if he's asked to turn and run with a slot receiver, he's going to lose that every single time unless they double team, unless they keep the safety over the top.
Yeah, it is kind of interesting because I would say Tranquil's a guy. I mean, I like Bilal there.
Yeah.
I think he'll be great against the run. But that's kind of what Tranquil would do. Like, I don't see him as the guy that would come in when like you said, going against a receiver.
Yeah. So I'm not sure who's going to end up being there. But
well, it looks like Bilal will be, I mean, from first practice. You can't take anything from first practice, but it looks like he could be the guy the first part of the year because they play teams like Georgia and, you know, he'd be great for that. Yeah. I'm not sure what to think about the matchup. I mean, you know, switching that guy all the time. It sounds a little more like the
Van Gorder defense. I know. And what worries me, too, is, well, let's say it's not Drew Tranquil. Let's say he is the stud, which is the strong safety, which I'm also not really a fan of having him there. I like him as a – he usually finds his way to the ball, but whenever he's asked to cover someone in space, he loses. And so I don't like the idea of switching him between different positions because, yeah, you're right. It just sounds like –
I think he is one guy that can handle it. He's a very smart football player, and so I think he'd be one guy that could do that, but I just don't like the idea of moving them around so much. But with the safety, I mean, with Tranquil, if he's back of the safeties, he seemed to work with Coleman helping him out, and then Elliott and Studstill worked together.
Yeah, okay, I saw that somewhere, too. Do you buy into that, where it would be kind of a tandem package where we see them together? So if Drew Tranquil would be the rover, then we'd see Studstill and Elliott versus Coleman and Tranquil?
I don't know, but it does make sense. I mean, if you think about it, it makes sense that they, you know, communicate with each other. And I don't know, there's something with that. Even in the more I learn about baseball, it's a huge thing about who the catcher is with the pitcher. I mean, to me, you're just throwing...
I never thought you'd bring baseball up on our podcast. Hey, we did talk about when the Cubs won.
But what I'm saying is you see more and more of that.
Yeah. If it works,
you know, and
I'm a fan. I like it.
Yeah. We talk about, you know, the quarterback having connection with the receivers. I mean, mm-hmm. there's other groups, you know, where guys work together better, different group. And the one issue they had with safety was communicating. One guy would be out of position and then another guy was trying to make up for that. And if the huge thing is communication
and trust.
And if those...
Because trusting that the guy on the other side is going to either be covering your spot if you're leaving it or whatever.
I would actually think about it. I would put Studstill and Elliott, have them dorm together. Have Tranquil and Coleman, you know, have them together all the time so that they have that trust in each other.
Not a bad idea.
We got to mention that to Brian Kelly.
All right, and then on the defense, linebackers, Tavon Coney was with the second team. It was Greer at the buck or the weak side, and then, of course, Niles Morgan at the mic, and then, as we mentioned before, at the rover, Bilal was with the first team there.
The defensive line, first team was basically...
Dalen was on the weak side, and Trimbetti on the strong side. So,
and then Tillery was the nose, and Bonner was the three tech. And basically, the strong side, Bonner and Khalid Kareem were the backup there, and then Okora would be the other weak side, or rush end.
Rush end or drop end?
Well, I hope they can rush. Let's just say that.
All right, that's all I've got, Randall. Of course, March Madness is here. We will be giving away the shirt, the 2017 shirt. Join our group. If you joined last year, you should just be able to very easily just rejoin our group. If you weren't part of it last year, search for Irish Sports Talk with spaces. And we also had tweeted it out and put it on Facebook, so you can find it there as well. So if you win, you will get the 2017 the shirt from Notre Dame.
And I mentioned last, we did have a tie. I think we gave out two shirts last week because
last year,
Herman actually has his name as the 2016 winner. So you know which guy to target when you make sure you beat him. He was last year's winner. And tell your friends, the more that join, the more fun it is. And I don't know, how far do you think Notre Dame will go, Ruben?
I think they'll get to the Sweet 16. But not to the Elite Eight.
It's going to be tough, I think, to get there. They'd have to beat Gonzaga.
Yeah.
And if they do get there, we have to watch that game with Matt Freeman since he's a huge Gonzaga fan. And Notre Dame did better, much better than I expected to in the ACC tournament. They got to the championship
game. They had a chance to win. They could have won it.
And the Virginia I did not expect them to beat Virginia because they have not done that. Mike Bray has not been able to beat Virginia's coach even when he was at another school. He hasn't been able to do it, and they led by double digits for most of the
game. I didn't even finish watching. I went to bed because they were so far ahead. Solon was there, and he took some pictures and posted them in the forum, forums.irishsportstalk. Primarily, we talk Notre Dame football, but if something exciting like that happens, like Notre Dame, you know, going pretty far in the ACC tournament, or of course March Madness, we do talk that a little bit as well. So if you want to join the forums, join the conversation, forums.irishsportstalk.net.
And Notre Dame's first game, they're actually the first game for the tournament. Well, not the play-in. They had the play-in games earlier. I think they're on Tuesday, I think. But Notre Dame actually kicks off tournament play, their first game. They play Thursday at 12-something. I believe it's 12:45 Eastern time. It's kind of annoying because I should be at work.
I'm going to be watching it.
But, yeah, they play I can't think right now.
Princeton.
So should be exciting to watch them. I don't know how good Princeton is. Obviously, they made it to March Madness, but it's going to be an exciting season. I think Notre Dame is going to do better than anyone expected once again, because you can get, there's quite a fuss about where they're ranked, because some of the teams that they beat, just like Florida State's the big one, they beat them 2 out of 3 times. They're seeded lower than them, but look at who they're playing. That could have all changed. Maybe they wouldn't have had, you know, as good a route to the championship as what they do now. So, anyways.
All right. Thank you guys for listening. If you enjoy this podcast, please tell your friends about it. And until next time, go Irish.
Go Irish.